This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I don't care if you think this song is cheesy or not. I love it. I love the movie Top Gun. I love this song. I'm not ashamed to say it. Not ashamed to say it. I can't wait for Top Gun 2 to come out. Or whatever it's called. The Top Gun, The Next Journey. I don't know what the name of it's going to be. Coming out next year. I can't wait. Loved it. This movie came out at the right time of my life where it was just the coolest thing on planet Earth. And thankfully, our next guest requested it. By the way, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. We're live in the Rally House studios. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. Ben Kercheval, who joined us a couple of weeks ago for the first time, joins us again. And he has his own request for his lead-in music. Ben, first of all, thank you for this. I love this song. I love the movie. Why did you pick it? Because I'm assuming you're much younger than I am. My generation, this was huge.
Well, it's a great song. It doesn't matter what your generation is. So there's a few layers to it.
Okay.
The first, and I always give it when Jed says, "What's your bump? What do you want for your bump?" Like, I don't always reply back right away. I usually give it like 5 or 10 minutes, and I really think about it. Like 2 weeks ago with Pantera, Cowboys from Hell, because of Vinnie Paul.
Right.
And this time I thought, so I obviously love Top Gun, great movie, and I'm also excited for the second one. I think is it Maverick? I feel like it's called
Maverick. I think Maverick. It's Maverick.
So, yeah, I think it's Maverick. So there's that layer to it. It's a great song on top of that. I do karaoke with my friends every once in a while here, and that's always on the list. It's like it's Africa by Toto, it's Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone, it's Heat of the Moment by Asia. Like, it's all these really great old classic songs. And do you watch Archer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Danger Zone, I get the joke. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so there's a whole Danger Zone.
Yeah.
Like, there's always the Danger Zone thing with Sterling Archer. And when they had the trailer, the preview for when they did Archer Vice, this was the song. And they had Krieger play Kenny Loggins in the trailer, and like when he's on like the bed with the fan and like the shirt open.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. It was great. So if there are any Archer fans listening, they know the significance of Kenny Loggins. These are because Kenny Loggins was on an episode. They got Kenny Loggins to come in and do an episode on Archer.
Yes.
He was like a bad guy or something.
Uh-huh.
Hysterical.
Well, this is why I enjoyed our conversation last time you were on, because this conversation just goes anywhere, and it's already off the rails, and I'm totally fine with that. Top Gun, yeah. maybe you're not as young as I thought, but Top Gun came out when I was going into, I think I was going into 8th grade, so.
Oh, no, you're older than me.
Okay.
I just know about stuff. I've watched Top Gun, yeah.
Well, we came back, all the guys in my class came back from summer break, and we all had either crew cuts or flat tops or military. We were all going to be Maverick.
Yeah.
We were going to the Naval Academy, and we were going to fly F-14 Tomcats. We were all going to be fighter pilots, not realizing the math and science of it that you have to study at the Naval Academy. None of us were smart enough to do that. But, yeah, we were all going to be fighter pilots.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you, at any point, was your retort – like, anybody challenge you on something? Did you ever, like, bite at them like Val Kilmer did?
Oh, it would be great if I did.
Yeah.
It'd be great if I did, because when he did that, at the time, it was like,
what was
that all about? And now that you think about it, it's like, actually, that's kind of a hallmark moment of the movie.
What? So I have I would like to know, because I'm sure there's a director's cut out there where they're talking about that. I'd like to know, because, you know, Val Kilmer's, he's a little out in left field. So
he's definitely out there.
Yeah, so I'd like to know, like, is that in the script, or is Val Kilmer like, you know what I should do? I should fight at him in the locker room.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay, let's roll. Let's do that.
You're dangerous. When you're in the air, you're unsafe. That's right, ice. Yeah, I want to see that director's cut too, like the pause. That's right, Ice Man. Is Val Kilmer going to be in the new one, the new Top Gun, or the new Maverick?
If he is, you know what? I hope he's not, because have you seen Val Kilmer?
Yeah, he needs to hit the treadmill a little bit.
Val Kilmer he's falling on some hard times. He used to be in that. He was in that movie Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando. I feel like he's
horrible.
Taking like the Marlon Brando route.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific. Here's a good piece of news for you. I promise we're going to talk college football with Ben Kercheval here. But here's some good news for you. So the last time we talked about Top Gun on the show, or the new one, Maverick, coming out, I was telling Jed that TMZ, I guess they wait outside LAX to just get celebrities coming off airplanes. And here comes Kenny Loggins. And he's obviously had some work done, and that's fine. Do what makes you happy. But they were asking him about the new Top Gun or the new Maverick and whether or not he would do a song for it. And he kind of tried to dodge it, like, well, I'd be interested in it. And then he kind of let on that, yeah, maybe we've talked about it. And then he went further and said, well, I might be working with a younger person on it. So maybe he writes a new version of Danger Zone, or maybe he comes up with a duet for the movie. You bring in Kenny Loggins back, I'm down for that. Absolutely.
You know who I wish would do a version of that song? And it's obviously impossible now. And it wouldn't be necessarily a younger generation thing. I just think he'd crush it. Is Chris Cornell. Like,
Chris Cornell
was still around.
Oh,
to do,
absolutely.
He had such an amazing voice. And did you ever hear when he did the James Bond intro?
Oh,
his
yes.
His intro was impeccable.
It's probably the best one of the modern James Bonds. That's easily the best. All credit to Adele, but his was the best.
Yeah.
And then he did the song for the Tom Cruise movie with Jamie Foxx when they're in the cab and Tom Cruise is murdering people. All over, he's the assassin or whatever. He did the song in the middle of it and while they're driving through the middle of the town. It's just fantastic.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Chris.
Well, I bet.
Great artist.
I bet when Jed Marshall called you and asked to talk college football, you didn't think we were going down this road.
No, I did. So, TJ Carpenter used to be on here in Kansas City, and I'd talk to him, and he'd call me, and TJ would always say the same thing. He'd go, yeah, we'll just get you on for like 15 or 20 minutes. Like 2 hours later, I filled up at least 2/3 of his show.
Right.
And I think at some point it just became a crutch for TJ. I still love TJ to this day, but I really became a crutch for him. Like, you know what? I got a Saturday to fill, and it's July. Like, we're at the All-Star break. Let me just call Ben, and we'll just talk about Top Gun for the first 30 minutes. and then, hey, Ben, can you stick around for another segment? Oh, okay, sure. And like an hour later, he's like, oh, okay, we'll let you run.
Well, I promise we will not do that for you. I just have one more non-college football thing for you because it's related to your Twitter account. We discussed the last time you were on why your bio says, Rasheed Wallace is my biological father. It's a joke between you and your dad. But when I looked on there the other day, did you actually get a picture with Rasheed Wallace?
No. Why?
Okay. I don't know. It says Daddy's always happy, and it's you and a couple of guys, and I didn't blow it up to see who it was.
No. That's Kawhi's with the Raptors now.
Okay.
And he's got this smile. So everyone's like, he's smiling. He never smiles.
Okay. Okay.
So did you ever? So you
I didn't blow up the picture to see who it was. That's what I just thought it was in reference to.
It was Kawhi, okay. But you know, it's the Gordon Hayward gender reveal video where he says, Daddy's always happy, and he's clearly devastated about the fact that he's not having a boy. He's having another
girl. I felt so bad for him that they posted that video. I felt so bad for him.
I felt a little bad for him because some of the times they're like, oh, Gordon Hayward's upset. And you go, okay, you're sort of stretching it. You're making something out of nothing. You listen to that video, and he goes, Daddy's always happy. I'm like, that is a broken man. That is a man who is so upset. And so now anytime there's a picture or, you know, like Kawhi, like, I don't want to be in Toronto. It's like, smile, Kawhi. Daddy's always happy. Like, yeah, okay.
I'm going to have to use that one in my personal life now, too.
Yeah.
Daddy's always happy. By the way, I would be just fine if people would stop doing the gender reveals. Because I did, when I had my kids, we specifically did not want to know until they were born. So I get it. People want to find out, but the gender reveal, I'm kind of, it's been played.
Fair enough.
Unless it gives you another great video like Gordon Hayward. But anyway, we're talking with Ben Kercheval from CBSSports.com, and he actually does cover college football, and we actually are going to talk about it. So we had SEC media days. We've had Big 12 media days. We've had media days and on top of media days. And there were a couple of things that made national news. And I guess the biggest one, or at least the one that I've talked about the most, is Larry Fedora, the head football coach at North Carolina. He was, in fact, I think we have the soundbite. He was, it's too long. Okay. Jed says we'll talk about it later in the show. But basically came out and said, well, we don't have any real proof that football and these massive collisions that we have and concussions lead to CTE. And then he kind of went on this rant about, you know, the game has changed, but if we lose football, our nation will fall apart, and how the military is so successful because of football. And I was like, what is going on here? And I guess the first thing I would like to say is, if he's a head football coach and he's saying that he doesn't know if concussions and football leads to CTE, I don't want my kids anywhere near that guy and that kind of thinking.
So, oh boy, there's a lot to deconstruct here.
Exactly.
There's a lot that we got to unpack. So let's start with this. I don't think Larry Fedora is dumb. All right, so let's start with that.
You don't get to his point in life by being dumb.
Yeah, so I don't think he's dumb. However, I think he publicly spoke how maybe more coaches than you would figure think privately. And it comes down to this. Coaches at that level, very few are like Steve Spurrier, right? Very few, when it's 5 o'clock, when it's quitting time, they go hit the links, you know?
Right.
When it's the off season, they'd rather be on the back nine with a cooler for Coors Original.
Right.
Bob Stoops was like that because he was from the Spurrier tree. Mike Gundy is kind of like that. But a lot of coaches, you know, they you hear these stories. They sleep in their office. Like Urban Meyer has got all of those horror stories
right.
about, you know, how many hours he puts in. You hear all the stories about Nick Saban and his detail-oriented processes. So a lot of these coaches, their world is football. And what they know happens in that athletic facility and on that football field and on the recruit.
It's a sheltered life some of them live.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a sheltered life. And so I'm sort of working outward and going in on this. You know, I'm starting with the whole the decline of America comment here. And so for Larry Fedora, you get this sort of almost like self-inflated view of what your job means to like the rest of the world. And it's obviously hyperbolic. It's incorrect. But there is this conflated view of like what everything means in a worldly view. Because then if you go and you listen to Pop talk about losing Kawhi and enduring, what does he say? He says, we're not enduring anything. We'll
right.
move on. You know, people endure. So he obviously has a better perspective on what.
Which was a great means. Answer to that question, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, to the rest of the world. So Larry Fedora, everything else aside, undermines his own argument just by getting into it's going to be the decline of America. We're getting soft. You know, it's yada, yada, yada. Okay, so you're now spewing garbage because of what you just said. Common sense people know that that's totally hot air. Now let's move into what he actually said about CTE. Technically, and we're speaking technically here, he's not wrong. The correlation does not equal causation. However, if you want to just speak in those technical terms, you can concede that he's right. But you and I, when we're sort of speaking casually, we know that if you play a sport in which you bang heads with each other, you're more likely to have long-term brain damage and all of the everything that filters out of that than if you don't. That's not saying that football explicitly causes CTE. We know there can be other causes for that. But there has been enough science, there's been enough research to back the fact that you can say that correlation doesn't equal causation, but you can also look at the game and look at that NFL study and say, what was it, 90% or 95% of the case studies that they had CTE. You go, okay, that's enough for me to draw the conclusion. You might say that conclusion is still a stretch, but I think it's still a conclusion that you can draw. And so I don't agree with Larry Fedora's comments on CTE, and I don't agree with the comments that the game has never been safer. I think that the game has never been faster and more violent. conversely, we have never done more to counteract the effects of that speed. You know, the targeting rule, I know it's controversial, but it was done in response to how the game has evolved. So there's a little bit of a yin and yang there. But on the whole, I disagree with Larry Fedora's comments. I can at least respectfully disagree with his thoughts on CTE, where he starts becoming like a truther and where he starts going off the deep end
right.
is where he loses everyone, and it's where he undermines his own comments. So, again, I don't think Larry Fedora is dumb. I think he said some dumb things. And again, when you start asking coaches to go beyond football, I tell you what, I think a lot of them struggle.
Yeah, they get out over their skis pretty quick.
Yeah.
I've seen a handful of coaches who are really good at it and can talk to you about anything, but a lot of them want to stick to that one thing. A couple other things stood out about the media days. Nick Saban, you don't want to say I don't like a guy, but I don't like him. I just don't like him. I don't like the way he carries himself. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the fact that you won all the national championships, but they build their seasons on these garbage schedules. Just the whole thing. I just don't like him. That said, he goes to media days. He's asked about the quarterback situation, okay? He says, well, I really don't want to get into that. Nick Saban gets paid, what, $8, $9 million a year? Whatever it is, $7 million a year? Shouldn't he answer questions about his quarterback? Is it that hard? Bill Snyder, the K-State head coach, took two quarterbacks to media days. Both of them. Both of them who played last year. He let them talk for themselves. Nick Saban, I don't want to talk about the quarterback situation. Really?
He doesn't let his assistants talk. I mean, Nick Saban is the ultimate control freak, and it works for him. So it's a yes and a no. It's a yes in should he have to answer for it. Well, guess what? Dennis Dodd, our guy.
He's great. He's fantastic.
Yeah,
love Dennis.
He stood straight up and said, is Jalen Hurts going to be on the team in 47 days? So Nick Saban's going to get out. He can say in his opening remarks, I just want to get out ahead of it and say that it's still like whatever he said.
Coaches and politicians both love to do that. I'm going to say this first, and this is all I'm going to say, and then if you ask a follow-up, they get upset. Okay, come on.
But Dennis straight up asked the question, and I don't think he was the only one. So you're going to get asked the question. You can say what you want, but you're going to get asked about it because media's got to do their job too. And obviously the competition between Jalen and Tua is the biggest story of the offseason. Why wouldn't
it? Absolutely it is.
So yes, he's going to have to answer the questions whether he wants to or not. On the other side of that coin, though, the no part is he gets paid $8, $9 million a year to win national championships and put players in the NFL, both of which he does at an alarmingly successful rate.
Yes.
Recruits know what he is when they go into the program because he's the same guy every single day. So if the media likes him or doesn't like him or he makes it difficult for to ask questions or whatever, is that part of what he's really supposed to do? Not necessarily, but obviously we would like it if he was a little bit easier about it. So I kind of get both sides, but at the end of the day, he's going to get asked about it, and he can say what he wants. We know that this competition going into the fall is the most incredible story of the year, and that it's going to result in someone leaving that team sooner or later. And the question is, who is it going to be? Everybody that I've ever spoken to, everyone thinks it's going to be Tua.
Tua, absolutely.
Who wins the job? Because they think as a quarterback, as a ceiling, as a higher ceiling, he's the better guy. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's the better guy for what they do offensively. You know, Jalen Hurts had one interception last year, and when I talked to Lane in the offseason, Lane Kiffin said, he's great because he moves the sticks, and he doesn't turn the ball over. And, you know, coaches place a lot of emphasis on that. I know Jalen hasn't developed quite as the passer that they've wanted, and I tend to think he's actually – what we see out of Jalen is probably what he's just going to be. But that's what I think throws a wrench in this whole thing, is that he's just so good at what he does. And then everyone thought Tua was going to win the job, and he might still. But Tua's had a thumb injury.
Right.
And when you go into preseason practice, you ask coaches, they will all tell you the same thing. You generally know who the guy is privately. You know who the guy is who has the leg up. And you typically have to do a lot to lose that in preseason camp. The players, the coaches, after a few days, they know. They know who it is.
Absolutely, they do.
And if Jalen's the guy who's been getting the reps and two is a little bit behind, Jalen's got to do a lot to screw that up. And so far, Jalen has not shown anything that he would do that. So I've heard Tua all offseason, and I tend to, on a philosophical level, I tend to agree. But if Jalen trots out there in week one against Louisville, it would not surprise me in the least.
Yeah, I agree. And I was perhaps a little unfair in my criticism of Nick Saban because he's got to protect
his... I don't think you're unfair. I think you're what a lot of media members are.
Right.
You want answers. You want answers.
Right. Well,
some coaches will give it to you, some won't.
And he's got to protect his players. He can't run out there on media day and say, Tua's my guy, and then go back to the practice facility and deal with the results of that.
Well, that's protecting himself.
Yeah.
Too. He wants to quarterback.
Sure. Sure. One of the more entertaining things to come from all of the college football media days. By the way, we're talking with Ben Kirchival, CBSSports.com, covers college football. He's a great follow on Twitter as well. One of the more entertaining parts of all the media days for the SEC, in my opinion, and I'm biased, okay? I told you my bias about Nick Saban. I'm biased in favor of Drew Locke, the Missouri quarterback, because I've been covering since he was 13 or 14 years old. I think he's a great kid. His family is awesome. So I'm biased in his favor. But for pure entertainment value, he was awesome because he was asked when they played Texas last year in the bowl game, and it didn't go that well. After they scored a touchdown, he did the put on my backpack or the Superman cape. He did something. And after the game, Tom Herman, the head coach of Texas, is like, I don't know what that jokester is all about. I don't know what was going on there. And Drew Locke was asked about it this year. He said, what about Tom Herman's criticism of your celebration? He goes, well, you know, I threw 44 of those last year, and I kind of do it every time. And the meaning being, it isn't the first time I've done it, and I've done it a lot, and a lot more than what your guy did. And I thought it was hilarious.
I like Tom Herman generally, and I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
That's a weird petty battle to fight. And you know, anyone who's like ever been to a game like down near the sidelines, or maybe you've been on the sidelines at some point or whatever.
Oh,
you know what
times.
You realize pretty quickly? There's no class in football. You know, remember that Baker Mayfield where he grabbed his jug can? That happens all the time. Way worse stuff happens all the time.
If you hear the language and other things that go on, it's that's Baker Mayfield.
If you heard what they tell each other in practice,
oh yeah,
you're like my God,
oh yeah.
So. And then you hear them all afterwards. You know, a lot of them are well-spoken or they're nice guys, but on the field, it's a totally different thing.
No, it's war.
So
yeah.
It is. So, well, yeah.
It's a physical war.
It's competitive.
Yes.
But that's a weird petty. So pettiness is totally, like, on the table in football. But that's a weird petty battle for Tom Herman to fight. Like, that's a weird thing for him to go – like, okay, man, you're the guy. You're the head honcho. I don't know that you need to be mocking an opponent like a young quarterback.
Right.
I don't know, man. I didn't quite sit right with me. I'm not, like, offended by it. Yeah, I thought you were a little better than that. That's all. I just thought you were a little better.
Yeah. I just thought for entertainment value, Drew Locke was it, and I can't wait to see him this year. When you cover the SEC – obviously, you know, the Alabamas and the LSUs, and they get all the attention. Do people talk about Drew Locke nationally? I mean, he's going to be in consideration for Heisman. I don't know if he'll be a finalist, but do people talk about him nationally and the numbers he put up last year?
I think they know his name.
Okay.
I think people know who Drew Locke is. If he was on a better team, and I think I said this maybe last time, the politics of – not necessarily just the Heisman, but the politics of, you know, the individual award season, All-American games. There's a little bit of what happens around you that affects your status. Not always, but I think sometimes at the quarterback position, that's the case. Unless you're throwing for like 5,000 yards. And even then, it can be a little bit of an uphill climb if your team is 6-6. And I think Mizzou started really poorly last year, and then they kind of rebounded when their schedule eased up a little bit. So he was behind the eight ball a little bit. And then they were obviously really terrible the year before. So he's put up these great numbers, but he's just been kind of been climbing an uphill battle. So I think people know who he is in terms of they go, okay, we know that he has numbers. We know that he's an accomplished thrower. I don't get the vibe that people think much beyond that, and that's because we live in a stat world, right? You just
right.
kind of know the stats, and you know who they are, and that's sort of it. But do people know that he has arguably the strongest arm in the nation? Because I think he does. Do they know that he has a potential NFL future? Because I think he does. So, no, I don't know that they know all the ins and outs about him. I don't know that they necessarily will unless Missouri wins maybe 9 or 10 games. But they know that he's an accomplished passer, which is true. But, you know, you can say that for a lot of guys around the country. That's just sort of the name of you know, the national stories. We go where the interest is, and there's not always a lot of interest with someone who maybe throws for 4,000 yards,
mm-hmm.
but is on a you know, a barely bowl-eligible team.
We're talking with Ben Kirchival, CBSSports.com, covers college football. Great job doing that. Final question for you, since we're talking about quarterbacks. I'm not going to get into KU because we don't know, and honestly, the interest level isn't there. But at K-State, as I mentioned earlier, Bill Snyder brought both of his quarterbacks to media days, Alex Delton, Skylar Thompson. And Skylar Thompson's a Kansas City kid, went to Fort Osage. I think overall he's got the better arm and is probably the better player, but and Alex Delton I think is ridiculously athletic as well when he runs the ball. What do kind of the national folks think about a coach like Bill Snyder being so willing to mix his quarterbacks? He's not the only coach who does it, but he's more willing to do it than I think most coaches in America, maybe more than any other coach in America.
So that's a culture thing. And at Kansas State, obviously, you know what you're going to get. And with quarterbacks, it's especially tough because traditionally only one guy plays, right? And so then there's a feeling in the locker room of who gives us the best chance to move the ball, who gives us the best chance to score, who gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, who shares the ball, who's a good leader. There are so many factors that go into it. And a lot of times when there are two guys who could potentially get it done, different players have sort of a personal lean towards one of them. And that can create some division within the locker room. It can create some uncertainty on who's going to start in a given week, you know, whether or not that guy's going to be given the best chance to win. So that can create a complicated situation. So it takes a really good football culture to be able to get past that and for every single person to roll with, we trust our coach, we trust our coaching staff. Because to me, no coach is better Sunday through Friday than Bill Snyder.
Absolutely.
He is the absolute best at game planning and making the other team do what he wants to do. I don't think anybody, I don't even think Saban is as good as that. I think he's the absolute number one best coach in the world in doing that. And when you have that in your athletic facility, you have confidence in what that means for everybody else. And so I think you can play two guys. I think you can play Alex Delton, who I'm with you. When he runs, man, he's exciting. I mean, he's so fast. And so, you know what you're going to get at him. And so you know what you're going to get at Scott. And those – I think that's just a culture thing. I think they know exactly what they're going to get, and they know what they trust in their preparation, and they trust in Coach Snyder. And that is a very rare football culture that takes years to solidify. And they're one of the few places that has it. So that's why I think they can play two. I think that's why they can bring two to media days and talk about it, because both of those guys know we know what our role is. Whoever starts, we know it's because it's going to be the best for the team. And it takes – very few coaches can do this. And sometimes it's harder to do it at a blue blood like Alabama. It may not be quite as hard to do it at a place like Kansas State where you're finding the diamonds in the rough from your recruits. But a great Greg Popovich quote is, are you over yourself yet? And you bring those guys to media days because they're over themselves. Now, he hasn't always managed it perfectly in the past. Like Daniel Sands, You know, that was
yeah, absolutely,
years
yeah.
ago. That was a situation where it didn't quite work out for everyone involved. But this is one of those situations where I think both of those guys, are you over yourself yet? Yes. And I think that's what they have.
And I think they both handled it absolutely fantastic last season. Ben, I appreciate your time so much. Give Ben a follow, Ben Kercheval, and read his stuff on CBSSports.com. And I tell you what, next year when the next Top Gun Maverick comes out, you go see it on opening night. I'll go see it here, and then we'll have you back. We'll have you on the show, and we'll do a review of the movie.
Absolutely.
I don't think they can go wrong. All right. Hey, Ben, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy the college football season. You're about to be a very busy person.
Absolutely. All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That is Ben Kercheval. And we did not keep him the 3 hours that TJ used to keep him. So Ben's got good stuff. He's a good dude. Talk about Top Gun. We talk about Danger Zone. Talk about Archer. And then we eventually got to college football. So many different directions. Good stuff. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. When we come back, we're going to have Jedlines. We're about a month into doing this, right? The Jedlines?
Something
this
like that.
Third or fourth weekend we've done this?
I think third week.
Okay.
This will certainly be the third week that I'll at least have like a music bed underneath
it. Okay. And this is, if you've missed it before, haven't caught it, Jed Marshall, who runs the show, will pick out headlines. Some will be sports-related. Some will
it's
not
all
be.
It's all breaking must-know news.
No. Yeah. Some will be stuff from outside the world of sports that's interesting or weird or different. And I don't know what any of these are, but Jed will just read the story, and then I'll react to it, however that works out. You're listening to Sports Saturday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Okay, so who is this? This is the fourth time I've asked in the show.
This is Herbie Hancock?
Again, all right. We went back to Herbie Hancock.
I didn't have him earlier in the show.
No, we had him last week, though, right? Or 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Maybe a few weeks ago.
All right. I like it. Always good with Herbie Hancock.
He's a good musician.
Yeah, fantastic. You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter, and we are live in the Rally House studios. Kansas City and across the Midwest, 50,000 watts. You can also listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. I was listening on the app when I'm out for a walk. Yesterday was a great day for a walk. What a great day yesterday. My voice is going to make it to the finish line. It's still it's a bit raspy from going to Hall & Oates and singing every song, which I'm sure everybody around me would have been annoyed had not everybody else at Sprint Center also sing every song. It was a good time. Let's see, quick update before I get to Jedlines here. Oh, sure, and the computer goes blank right when I go to the thing I want. Update from the Open, or as we call it here, the British Open.
It's just the Open.
Yeah, no, it's just the Open, but it's been dubbed the British Open, so we know what they're talking about. Kevin Kisner still in the top spot at -8 through 8. Zach Johnson tied for the top spot at -8 through 7. Jordan Spieth now tied for third at -7 through 11. Xander Schauffele also at 7-under through 9. How about Tiger Woods? Take a guess at where Tiger Woods is. You've been watching, though, Jed, haven't you?
I have been watching, and I have the ESPN page open in front of me. So I don't think that'd be fair if I guessed.
For all the folks, look, do I think Tiger Woods is ever going to win another major? Probably not. But he's tied for 8th. After his Saturday round, tied for 8th, 5-under. Tiger Woods.
He was at 5th, and then people moved in front of him since his round has been finished. Pat Perez being the one who I saw. I thought he was at 7th the last I saw, but obviously moved even more to 8th.
Tied for 8th, Tiger Woods. So Sunday for NBC is going to be very good for ratings. Tiger's in the top 10, the British Open. All right, it's time for Jedlines. As I said, going to the last commercial break, this is where Jed Marshall has stories from the world of sports and outside the world of sports. Could be fun, could be weird, could be interesting. Jed will read these. I have no idea what they are, and then we'll just react and kick it around. So, Jed?
And we touched on a couple of these earlier in the show, but I did want to get your thoughts. Michael Beasley going to the Lakers, reports are a one-year deal. What do you think? Is that the missing piece? Is it all solved in L.A.?
It's all come together now. All coming together. I was going to look up his stats, because I honestly, I don't know what he's done the last couple of years.
Not much.
Not
he
much.
Also played in New York.
Right. Well, nobody watches the
That's
Knicks.
That's what I mean. You know, like he'd have a night where he'd score 27, and then he'd have a night where he'd foul out with 1 point. So
last season, Michael Beasley played 74 games, about 22 minutes, a little over 22 minutes per game, and averaged 13.2 points.
Yeah, it's not awful.
For the NBA, if you average 13 points, that makes you a $20 million a year player. Like I was joking before, if you had $15 to spend and you spent $14.50 on LeBron James, the guys they've gotten since then would take up those 50 cents. They have not gotten the other name player. They were going to get Kawhi Leonard. No, actually, they're not. He's going to Toronto where he'll be unhappy and he'll pout.
Unless his physical doesn't go through and he has to go back to the Spurs.
Could he like hammer his little toe and break it and something?
If he isn't cleared from the physical, the trade can't go through, okay. And he'll go back to San Antonio. There are a lot of reports
Which
out there
pleasant.
that they would then be able to trade him, presumably, okay. to L.A. That's the NBA conspiracy that's going on, okay. Not a Jed line. Do you have more on Beasley?
He's had an unremarkable, and he's had an average to below average NBA career for a guy who was drafted top two.
Yeah, probably fair.
I would say a disappointing NBA career.
Probably a fair statement.
If you're averaging 13 points a game, you're doing okay.
You're still drawing a
check.
You're just
okay.
Next, Jedline.
Okay.
Did you see the Washington Nationals dugout last night?
Yes.
With Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer, two of the better pitchers in the league. Strasburg being more bitten by the injury bug, getting into it, and kind of having to be separated by teammates. What do you make of that?
Well, Strasburg, this was his first start since coming off the DL. He was on for like 6 weeks.
Yep.
Got bombed for 6 runs. Wasn't great. I saw the video, so he walks down the dugout. Scherzer pats him on the back. And then I think Strasburg said something while he was moving towards the bench, and Scherzer turns around like, "What? What did you just say?" And then they had it out, and then it didn't last long because then they went down the dugout steps and they had it out in the clubhouse.
Right.
And Strasburg strikes me as a guy who can be a little bit prickly, so maybe he didn't think Scherzer was being complimentary when he was... Maybe he said, "You'll get him next time," or something like that, and he didn't take it the right way. I thought it was more funny that the manager, is it Davey Martinez?
Yeah, something.
So Davey Martinez, after the game, says, "We handled it in-house. It's our business. Everything's okay." He said, "You know, on some teams, you have guys choke each other." Yes, the Washington Nationals! Jonathan Papelbon choked Bryce Harper. It happened.
But it was only in the dugout, Brad. That makes it way better.
And I realized Davey Martinez wasn't the manager when that happened, but he said, "Well, you'd have some guys who might choke each other on some teams." Yes, it happened to this team. To this one.
All right. Well,
it's the heat of the season, and the Nationals are underperforming again. So.
I guess. We got to kind of move quick. Okay. We're kind of behind.
All right.
Your buddy, your old running mate, Conor McGregor, is dodging jail and deportation in a plea deal. TMZ Sports has learned that on the verge of striking a deal in New York City, his criminal case where he threw the chairs and
threw
whatnot.
The bus windows.
Yeah. He is going to be able to reach a plea deal in his felony mischief case, and he will not be deported.
What happens when you break the law and you have a ton of money and you live in America?
How's he going to pass those drug tests while he's on probation?
Ooh. Good question. Look, this is Conor McGregor's like every other million-dollar athlete. You get the right lawyer, you get the right courtroom, you get a plea deal, and you basically get a free pass. If this was, if Brad Porter or Jed Marshall threw a chair through a bus window and caused thousands of dollars in damage and there are shards of glass all over the bus driver, we go to jail.
I don't know about you. I certainly would not.
Well, I mean, how the law is applied. we would be arrested and probably have to go to jail for 30 days or pay a huge fine. But if you're a million-dollar athlete, it's, look, I'll write a check.
That was a joke for about four that I was making.
Okay.
Anywho. Brad, next Jetline. Are you into the Fortnite?
No, I do not play it. My kids play it.
But
they're not addicted to it. Like, I hear people get addicted to it or whatever. But
okay, well, here's...
No, they play it.
Here's a good life lesson.
What is it called? The bush?
I don't know.
Who hide in the bushes until everybody else is killed and then jump out?
I know Fortnite because I've seen my buddy's 11-year-old son play it, and it looked entertaining, but clearly I'm way too old.
Yeah.
So your children might be more interested in this one. Do you know who Ninja is?
No.
Ninja is a world-famous gamer, and Ninja is being smart with his gaming fortune, saying, quote, "Nothing lasts forever." Pro gaming legend Ninja says he's not going out like Antoine Walker, telling he's saving every penny of the fortune he's making playing video games so he doesn't end up broke.
Wow. That's a shot at Antoine Walker, I guess.
I guess.
Antoine's broke, apparently.
Yeah.
God, the number of guys who've gone broke. It's a lot. No, that's smart. First of all, I don't get how people make a living playing video games.
People watch on Twitch. They just pay to watch.
If you're into it, fine. I have nothing against it. I just don't get it. I would rather play the game myself than watch somebody else play it. I'm glad he's being smart with his money. I just didn't think people would pay to watch other people play. But, okay.
People sit and watch poker. I mean, hey.
There's college scholarships for gaming now.
I know. That's embarrassing. All right, Brad. Next Jedline. You've obviously heard about Jimmy Garoppolo and his...
date?
Yes, his acquaintance who he went on a date with.
Yeah.
Well, according to this, Jimmy Garoppolo is being targeted by adult sponsor after porn date.
Pretty sure his agent's not going to sign off on anything like that. Or the National Football League would not sign off on anything. You know what? Date who you want to date. It wouldn't be... Yeah, I won't comment further. Just date who you want to date. That's fine.
Well, the irony of this story is, of course, when you hear targeted by adult sponsor after a porn date, you're like, oh, wow, this has to be like a church group or a family-friendly company. Nope, we're talking about weed. According to this report here, the marijuana-themed porn site, xblaze.com, fired an offer to Jimmy, hoping to sign him as a spokesperson.
Yeah, that's going to be a no.
Lives in California.
What if you're playing for the Denver Broncos, state of Colorado, where it's legal? Could you do like a billboard like, "Hi, I'm Mike Johnson. I'm the quarterback for the Broncos, and I only smoke this."
That's a good question. I don't know. I'll have to ask some of my friends
out in
Denver.
Huh? Yeah, Garoppolo. Good luck.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Joe Theismann is cool with Jimmy Garoppolo dating porn stars. That's the last one on there. Joe Theismann weighed in on that.
Glad we got to the bottom of that.
All right, last one here because we're short on time.
Okay.
Brad, what if I told you that a man in a concrete mixer leads Wyoming police on a chase? But there's more to this one as well.
Okay, what is it?
Well, Wyoming police say a man twice led them in a chase in one day, once in a pickup truck and then in a concrete mixer. Gillette Police Lieutenant Brent Wasson says the incident began around 11:15 Wednesday. When police tried to stop a pickup on Interstate 90 on-ramp, they basically said that this guy was going 100. However, he crashed his pickup into a ditch and later was able to commandeer a... what was it?
Cement mixer?
Yes, a cement mixer and take the police on another chase.
Well, I'd say if they have the police dash cams, their case is going to be pretty concrete.
Hey-o. Those are Jedlines.
Pretty cut and dried. I don't know. I would never run from the police. So if you got if you're in a pinch and you need the odd cement mixer truck, go with what works. Now you're in jail. All right, we'll take a timeout and then we'll come back for the final segment of the show. You're listening to Sports Saturday. Jed Marshall is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Riley House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back for the final couple of minutes here. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, Judd Marshall running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House Studios. Found out a couple of minutes here. Okay, so we told you about Tiger Woods being in the top eight. Do you know what he shot today? Did you already look at that?
Yeah, I saw.
66.
Pretty good.
That was after Justin Rose fired a 64.
Even better.
Which tied the course record at Carnoustie.
What does Tiger being in contention do for you?
I would watch it anyway.
I'm in the same boat.
For the Open.
Ah, you're finally getting it.
Yeah.
It only took...
Well, I say British Open because some people know it that way.
3 hours of...
Some people call it that, so...
The Open, Brad.
I'm... You know what? He is compelling. When he's on the screen, you have to watch. If you're into golf or say you're at a... The game is on one of those big screen TVs, tell me you're not looking up when Tiger Woods pops on the screen. It's just a compelling story. Now, look, if I look at the leaderboard... Say you're an average golf fan, or maybe you're not that much of a golf fan. If I were to walk up to somebody and say, hey, Kevin Kisner and Zach Johnson are tied for the top at the Open. Okay, I'm sorry, I like those guys. They're excellent golfers. They ain't bringing in the eyeballs. They ain't bringing home the bacon. Jordan Spieth, okay. More people know who he is. He's one shot back. Xander Schauffele, I know he was a rookie last year. I think he was rookie of the year. Francisco Molinari, okay, I know who he is, but not many people do. Eric Van Rooyen, and then you get to Tiger Woods. And by the way, as the leaderboard shuffles up and down, Tiger is now in seventh, tied for seventh at 5 under after today. And this is when the big deal was made earlier in the week. I guess he got up Thursday with a stiff neck or sore, and so he has those big things on his back, those sticker things that you see. Like volleyball players always put those, it looks like tape, like electrical tape. He had those on his neck. Oh, what's wrong with Tiger? And somebody asked him after the round Thursday, what's up with that? And he goes, do you not know that I've had a bad back for the last 10 years?
Did it to himself. He shouldn't be so snarky.
Yeah. So he's in contention. That's going to do it for this show. We'll be back tomorrow from 9 to noon with more sports Sunday. I almost called it something else, an old show I used to do. Thanks to Brooke Pryor from the Kansas City Star, new Chiefs beat writer. She was fantastic. She's headed up to St. Joe to cover the Chiefs. Rookies report tomorrow. Remember, you cannot go yet. You have to check the Chiefs website for when the general public can go. Also, thanks to Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com. We talked Top Gun, we talked Archer, and we eventually talked college football. My thanks to Jed Marshall, who set up the whole show and ran the board today. And as co-host of the show, you're in here all the time. My name is Brad Porter, and we thank you for listening. Enjoy this beautiful Saturday. You've been listening to Sports Saturday, live from the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.